Hey, welcome, and I hope your year continues to get off to a good start as we see a lot of things happening. You think after a presidential election, things would kind of slow down, but they certainly have not in Louisiana or throughout the rest of the country. The inaugural is this week. A lot of you are going to be tuning it in. I've never been to an inaugural. I don't know if any of you listeners to my podcast have. If you have, I wish you'd email me and tell me about it because I've never had the chance to go to one. I've gone to a number of Democratic and Republican national conventions and followed the election process well. I've been to the White House, met a number of presidents. I've met Richard Nixon, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton. Met those three presidents. Gerald Ford, just as he was off to be president. I wrote a column about that some months ago, about the fact that I happened to be at the Roosevelt Hotel down in New Orleans. It became the Fairmont, but at the time it was called the Roosevelt Hotel. Gerald Ford was giving a speech down there as vice president. And I did not hear the speech, but I heard that the Secret Service rushed him off the stage in the middle of his speech, took him to an ante room, and I happened to be in the lobby of the Roosevelt Hotel when Ford was brought down and was whisked out of the door. And I mean, he was maybe 10 feet from me, and I just had an inkling. There's a lot of rumors going around about Nixon and Watergate and the fact that he might resign. And as he was going out the door, I said, good luck to you, Mr. President. I didn't say Mr. Vice President. I said Mr. President, just kind of on a hunch. And he paused just for an instant and looked over at me, looked me right in the eye, and kind of nodded and went on out the door. And I've always believed that I was the first person to ever call Gerald Ford Mr. President. Never met Ronald Reagan. I was in several auditoriums. That was at the Republican National Convention when he got the nomination back in the 80s, and so I heard him speak, but I never had a chance to actually meet him. I never met George Bush either, and I've never met Barack Obama. So I'll be watching it like the rest of you, and it's exciting whether it's a Democrat or Republican as to the inaugural. I'm going to talk in my radio show this week about porta-potties. You know, there are rules about how many porta-potties you have to have with a crowd. Now, they're expecting 3 million people, and I think the rule is one for every 300. And then if you're in the private sector, and a lot of areas are roped off for the private sector, it's got to be one for every 75 people. You put a pencil to all that, and I figure they needed about 55,000 porta-potties up in Washington, D.C. They'll be lucky to have 1,000, I would imagine. So that's going to be a big challenge in dealing with porta-potties up the inaugural activities up in Washington this week. Take a look on the website, if you will, on my column this week that's up. Is a very chilling, just heart-wrenching story of this father, and I hope you'll read it over. That it shows you, you know, when you think things cannot get any worse in New Orleans, they do. Here's a city that's the most dysfunctional city when it comes to leadership in America. It's a city that has the highest murder rate per capita in America. It's been named as one of the 5 cities in the world that are the most dangerous to live in. That came out about a month or so ago, if you didn't see it. And so how can it get any worse? Well, this terrible story of this father who's got to pay some child support. His little boy idolizes him, 2 years old. He comes to get the little boy and takes him off. And his little boy is so excited. Daddy, daddy, I'm going with my daddy. The father, I don't even want to tell you, it's just so disgusting and terrible. Read my column this week that's up on the site now. And it brings tears to your eyes. It just tears you apart. And this is the kind of thing that's so dysfunctional that continues to happen down New Orleans. I tied it all into a Bob Dylan song, Highway 61 Revisited. Remember that great album back in 1965? Well, Highway 61 goes from Duluth, Minnesota, where actually Dylan was from, all the way down to New Orleans. It ends in New Orleans. And it talks about God and Abraham and the Bible, and I try to draw a parallel and bring it all back into Highway 61 in New Orleans. And so take a gander to it, and I hope you enjoy it. Well, you're not going to enjoy it. You're not going to enjoy the column, but I hope you felt like it was a moving column. It sure took a lot out of me to write it. I hope you'll take a look at it. And then the other story is on my blog. Nothing goes right in New Orleans. The Catholic Church is trying to shut down a couple of churches, and it looks like it's very questionable they shut them down. I understand that after Katrina, there's been population losses. The church is having a hard time finding priests. They got some financial problems. Maybe hard to keep all the churches open. But they picked 2 churches where the area is growing in the uptown area of New Orleans. Catholic Church called St. Henry's, I think over 100 years old, and Lady of Good Counsel. Both are popular churches with a good clientele, a lot of parishioners. Both have some money in the bank, got little dollars on hand. They're arranging to get their own priest to come in there. But the archdiocese headed up by there, who's Archbishop Alfred Hughes, has ordered the churches closed. So some of the parishioners in both churches organize a sit-in. This goes on throughout the rest of the country. It's not unique to New Orleans. If you go up to Boston, there's been sit-ins in some of the churches up there going back 4.5 years. And by the way, Hughes came from Boston. Rather than work with the parishioners and try to work out a compromise, and there were some compromises on the table, the church says, look, we'll sell off all the surrounding property, the rectory and the school, but let's leave the church. It's got historic value. We will pay, the parishioners will pay to keep it open. They'll find the priests. And they went all out. And one of the bright priests in New Orleans, Father Chris Nalty, who I know, I met him when I was over in Rome at the Vatican. And Chris Nalty's back in New Orleans. He volunteered to say give a mass once a month there and at both churches. Anyway, they worked towards a compromise. The Archbishop gives the order. The police come in. They handcuff these people. Now, they don't handcuff the crooks that run rampant in New Orleans, but they're handcuffing parishioners who are trying to keep their church open. Tell me, figure that out for me. How do you go figure that? And so, any event, they were arrested, they were turned loose, but it just shows the whole dysfunction, not only in the public sector, but also in the private sector. I hope you'll take a look. So that's kind of what's going on this week. We'll talk some more about the inaugural next week. Hope you've had a good week and glad you're watching all the features on my website. Thanks for listening and watching, and we'll talk to you soon. Jim Brown here, signing out.